Zion can play. Man, he just don't want to. Only one of the most idiotic statements, if not the most idiotic statement I've ever heard from a professional athlete, can take me out of my off football season hiatus and do another one of these Fazan on Craziness podcast. Be right back. And welcome back to this special episode of Fazan on Football. Only this time it's being called Fazan on Craziness, because that's what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with crazy. I'm going to sound like the old man, the old get off my lawn guy, but come on, man. What you youngsters, you Gen X or Gen Zers, what the hell are y'all doing? Man, you're making it look bad for the rest of us. Once upon a time, there was a thing called being a tough guy. And usually if you was an athlete, any kind of athlete, you were kind of an alpha. You were a tough guy. Just your makeup. You can handle things better than the non-athletic guys. You can be more physical, where let's say you had athletes who were more physically gifted and you had non-athletes who were more brainiacs, cerebrally gifted. And sometimes the two crossed over. Sometimes you had both, but most times, more than not, you either had one or the other. And the athletic guys were tougher, had thicker skin, because you heard it from your other athletic buds growing up. Nobody was easy on you growing up playing ball. You could play ball with your best friend in a pickup game, but if your best friend was on the other team, that particular pickup game, you two guys walked into that gym best friends. Once you got on the floor, you opposite players, you were enemies. And you gave each other crap. And you busted the other one's balls. But even more so, if you were on the same team, you might have gave your buddy even a harder time. Come on, man, pick it up. Come on, dude. Move your feet. Come on, man, hang with that. You can't hang with this guy? He's eating your lunch. Whatever. So it kind of went both ways. That was when I was growing up. And I know it was when my boys were growing up, because they went through the same thing. Today, I don't know what the hell's going on. To hear a guy like Zion Williamson, maybe the most gifted player, pound for pound, no pun intended. Maybe a pun is intended. No, pun intended. That this basketball world's ever seen. Nobody who is the size of that man, or that child, I should say, is as physically gifted that I've ever seen than Zion Williamson, physically. But somewhere along the line, our guys who were physically gifted and tough, the toughness has gone away. And I don't know what caused it. I mean, I do know that in society there's this big thing now where, you know, there's no such thing as a male role and a female role. You insult somebody if you call them a girl. If you call them a guy, they get insulted. Why are you gendering me? That type of deal. So, I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But as athletes have grown, testicles have shrunk. Or testinal, how do you say it? Fortitude has shrunk. Because to hear a guy, the physical, imposing athlete, that this man is, this child is, if you hear those words, I'm physically ready, I'm just not mentally ready, I just don't feel like myself, come out of this guy's mouth, was cringeworthy. I use a term that the kids like to use today. It was cringy, what he was saying. I was embarrassed for the guy. I know he wasn't embarrassed. He was totally serious. And there's people out there defending him today. I mean, defending him. Oh, he just said it wrong. He doesn't know how to convey his feelings, or he doesn't know how to communicate well. He's not polished yet. He's 22. He's not a... He didn't really say what he meant or meant what he said. See, what he really meant was, I can play, I'm physically ready, but I'm just not in shape yet. All right. Any way you slice it, let's say Zion did say that. The two don't go together. You're not ready to play, but out of shape yet. The two can't exist. You're either ready to play or you're not ready to play. You're ready to play physically and mentally. You have to be both. Or you have to be able to get on the floor and play. You can't be ready to play, but out of shape and not ready, not in shape yet. Well, then you're not ready. So, why are you not ready? Why are you out of shape? You haven't been playing ball since January. You know, there are things like you could do exercise with a hamstring. There are things like the treadmill, like exercise bikes, like running straight, you know, hamstrings. Hamstring injuries prevent exerting yourself. They prevent jumping and turning and twisting and stretching and donking. And yeah, I get that. But you can still exercise. You can work out your upper body. You can get on a treadmill, like I said, or an elliptical, or maybe not elliptical so much. You can get on an exercise bike. You can jog. You can eat right and stay in condition until such time as your hamstring heals, and now you're ready to play. So if you are out of shape, that's why you don't feel like yourself. Because yourself is an idiot. Yourself didn't take him care of your body while you were recovering from an injury. You sat on your fat ass waiting for your hamstring to heal. So I don't want to hear why he didn't say the words right. Or he didn't. None of it helps. None of it. And then the Pelicans management, They're left sitting there going, what the hell, what do we have here? What is this person on our team who can run the floor and dunk over 7-foot guys, but is so, I'm going to use this term, such a snowflake that he can't get on the floor unless he feels like he's himself. What does that even mean? Nobody feels like themselves. I'm doing this podcast right now. I don't feel like myself. What the hell? What is yourself supposed to feel like? Whatever you're feeling at that moment, that's what yourself is. But I think this whole thing, and this gets me on another topic, this whole management of Zion's career up to now, I think if it was me, I would have done 180 degree opposite of what the Pelicans have done. in handling Zion in his handling Zion's career up to this point. 100% opposite. And here's what I would have done differently. Play him. Well, if you don't play him because you're afraid he's going to get hurt, you know, either way, you're hurting the team. This thing about we're going to reassess in 2 weeks, which is a bullshit statement. You know it's bullshit when you say it, and you think the people are dumb enough to believe it. It's just hurting the team. The players know it's BS. The players know it. And they're rolling their eyes when they read that, what management says. Now they got to go on in close ranks mode to protect this guy and protect management. Not so much management, but their teammate. Play him. Oh, he's out of shape. Play him. So what? He'll play himself into shape. Yeah, he's going to not perform the way he should perform, but he will eventually. Play his ass. Oh, he's going to, we got this weight limit we got on him, this weight restriction. Now, to me, that's cutting off your nose to spite your face. If you're going to pay this man the way you're paying this child, the way you're going to pay him, play him. Let him get on the floor out of shape and see how it feels. See, he thinks in his mind, I'm fine. I can play at this weight. Y'all just won't let me. So that's why he's doing windmill dunks and warm-ups. He wants to show everybody, no, I can play at this weight. I can see I can jump. I can dunk. Okay, play him. Let him see how it feels to be out of shape playing against finely tuned athletes who are the best shape of any athlete in the world, except for marathon runners. Let him try to get on there out of shape. Believe me, it would take one half of one quarter for him to realize, holy crap, I got to get myself in shape. I can't keep up with these guys. And watch how fast he gets himself in shape. But the fact that he hasn't experienced playing while he's a fat ass and other guys are dogging him that he would probably own, and him putting his hands on his knees because he can't catch his breath because he's run up the floor 2 or 3 times and he's so fat, his lungs and his endurance is poor. See, that hurts physically. When you can't catch your breath, when you're physically fatigued and exhausted in a basketball game, I know it at any level. I've been there. I've felt that fatigue, and it hurts. And it made me say, I need to get in better shape. I'm not ready. And once that happens to Zion Williamson, once you let him play at 310 when you want him at 299, and he sees how he feels during that time, I can promise you his ass will get into shape. Because if he loves the game as much as he says, I love the game. I love the game. I'm not going to get out there and embarrass myself. I love this game. I love it. No, you don't. You don't love it. You love the attention. You love being in the NBA. You don't love the game. If you love the game, you would do what it takes to be on the court. But you don't. You love yourself more than you love the game. So you would find out quickly how much he loves the game. You put his ass on the floor while he is overweight. Say, okay, Zion, you tell me you can play at this weight? Go ahead. Play with it. Play at it. He's either going to be able to, and he's going to be Zion Williamson that you see in all the YouTube videos, or he's going to realize how important it is for him to keep his body in shape. And he will forever stay in shape. Now, he can play well at first, if he's overweight, Let's say he gets on there and he excels. Oh, yeah, I told y'all I could play this way. It'll catch up to him sooner or later. It will catch up to him. In the meantime, so what? You enjoying a Zion at 350 instead of 300. Okay. If he's performing, he's performing. If he can handle it, let him. Let him. But sooner or later, it's going to catch up with him. And, you know, it's probably why he pulled his hamstring. But it is what it is. You either play him and risk all of that, or you let him sit. And you sit and let others sit there and analyze and you know, use all his conjecture as to why he's not playing. Instead of, okay, well, we tried it. We tried him at 350. You saw what happened. Maybe now he'll realize. So we'll see. He's got a lot of growing up to do. I titled this first segment Kid Zion, but it's really Zion the Child. He's a child. He's a big, giant child. And to say something like that, it just shows to the world how immature he is and how much he's just tone deaf. And I know a lot of professional athletes, they don't get it. You know, and that's fine. They live a life that we'll never live, you know, of privilege and people coddling them and taking care of them and being millionaires. And so that's just the way it is. But I do have one thing to say about the reporters at that interview. And I listened real hard. And I think the reporters might have been a little more embarrassing than Zion himself because nobody pushed him. The only question is, how frustrating is it, Zion, that you can't play? And how bad would you really want to get on the floor? And hey, I don't know. I'm waiting for one reporter to say, Zion, wait, let me get this straight, Zion. You can play. You just don't want to. Is this the message you're trying to get out there to the fans? And not just the fans, to your peers in the NBA? Is this how you want LeBron to think of you? Is this how you want Steph Curry to think of you? You know, Draymond Green nailed it. He said I don't know why I do that. Because I'm old. And I'm half senile, I guess. When the Pelicans blew that 20-point lead against Golden State, and Draymond Green called him out and said, y'all are not that type. Maybe that's what he meant. But I was waiting for a reporter to say, what the hell do you mean? Do you know how dumb this sounds? Do you know how tone deaf this sounds? But you got a bunch of podcasters now. They all getting press passes. They all remind me of the girl. If you've ever seen that movie, Saturday Night Fever, and at one point, this timid little shy girl's at the disco, and she says, Tony, I just want to wipe your forehead. Can I wipe your forehead for you? And he's like, sure, go ahead. The reporters were that little girl at that press conference. They just wanted to be around Zion. They didn't want to hurt his feelings. They didn't want to upset him. They didn't want to make it to where it'd be weird the next time they saw him or in the same room. Look. I used to sit in those pressers after the then Hornets games, and Paul Silas was the coach, and he did not want to see Eric Asher sitting in that press corps because Eric was the only one who would ask the tough question. And every time the first few times Silas would hear a question from Eric, he's like, oh my God, here he goes again. By the end of the season, you could tell Silas respected Eric, and he would want to give him a thoughtful answer to what Eric's question was because he knew Eric wasn't full of shit, that he was actually a real reporter. And we are lacking that in the podcast age with guys who are just happy to have a press pass and be close to the players. And so they can run home and tell all their friends, look, ooh, I get to be hanging around. I get to stand in the same spot as Zion Williamson. So there's too much of that going on instead of somebody asking him tough questions, which is what he needs. He needs to be held accountable. His management isn't doing it. So the press corps, the little guys around him who ask these silly questions, softball questions, they need to get tougher. Now, I didn't notice any TV reporters there, like real reporters, like real reporters, not podcasters, but real reporters. I didn't see any of those at the, or hear any of their voices. But I just know it was these little guys who do these podcasts who think now they have a press pass and they don't want to lose that press pass. So they're not going to ask a tough question or they're afraid they're going to get their credentials taken away, which believe me, having press credentials ain't what it's cracked up to be. I know. I've been there. I hated it. I hated having press credentials. You don't see anything. You get to be on the other side of the velvet rope. That's all. Anyway, so that's my little rant and tantrum about the whole Zion Williamson situation. The child needs to turn to a man, and once he does, he's going to be the greatest player you ever seen in New Orleans. And I'm talking about Pistol Pete Maravich. And believe me, coming from me, that is high, high praise. He's that talented. I mean, having said everything I said about him up to now, you don't get rid of him. You just don't. You got to figure it out. You have to figure it out. All right, that's going to do it for this edition, this special edition of Fazan on Football. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I hope bringing it to you. And who knows, maybe something will happen and I will come back before the football season. All right, talk to you soon.